Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to do something a little different this week. I want to take a deeper dive into looking at the situation we're facing in the culture and society. Lots of people ask me, what's going on? Like, why are we experiencing so much political, financial, cultural instability? And why does the church itself seem to be rocked at this point? There's divisions rising in the church and struggles all over the place. So I just want to touch on different aspects of what you might say, how to read the signs of the times. I want to start today, we'll see how far we get, talking about something I think is really crucial. I did a YouTube video on this at renewalministries.net a number of months ago called The Removal of the Restrainer. I think that was the title, something like that. And what I want to look at is something fundamental to really human and social order, and that is that God himself, and the scripture reveals it to us, but God himself has given us certain restrainers. Restrainers for what, you might ask? Starting with Jeremiah 17, verse 9 can tell us a lot. The human heart, restrainers on the human heart. The human heart is deceitful above all things, Jeremiah says, and desperately sick. Who can understand it? The church is very clear as well in the catechism teaching us about the condition we're battling with in the human heart. Catechism, paragraph 397, man tempted by the devil let his trust in his creator die in his heart, and abusing his freedom disobeyed God's command. This is what man's first sin consisted of. All subsequent sin would be disobedience toward God and a lack of trust in his goodness. So this is when Jeremiah said that the heart is deceitful, and it's desperately corrupt and sick. The biblical worldview is clear. Humanity's fallen. We're under powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that there's something broken deep inside every human being. And deep down, there's a resistance. It's called the flesh. And the resistance to God and God's will, God's commands, wanting to acknowledge God. And so there's a battle between wanting to do my will, wanting to do God's will. There's the working out of a darkened mind that's subject to the world, the flesh, and the devil. And God has built into creation and his plan for the human race a capacity and powers to help restrain the corrupted human heart from just getting what it wants, you might say. Paragraph 398 from the Catechism said, in that sin, that is the original sin, man preferred himself to God, and by that very act scorned him. He chose himself over and against God and against the requirements of his creaturely status. Humanity deep down wants to be God. We want to be God. So there's a resistance to the rule and the reign of God. And so one of the things that God has done is he's given us restraints. And I want to look at those today. Begin to look at them today. There's four key ones. There's conscience. There's the family. There is political authority. And there's the church itself. And each one of those, when operating in a healthy way, help maintain order, social order, family order, order within the human being, right? Order within the church community, so that the church can live as a light in the world. But in a very real way, all four of those restrainers are in some way corrupted, broken, seriously weakened in our time. The words of Jesus himself talking about the human heart are very dramatic, echoing, maybe putting really concrete terms on the general expression that Jeremiah gave as he analyzed the reality of the brokenness of the human heart, sinfulness. Mark 7:21, Jesus said, when they asked Jesus the question, if they, you know, religious Jews who are trying to keep the dietary laws, he said, if they eat certain foods, will it defile them? And Jesus said, defilement comes from within. He said, out of the human heart of man come evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. He said, all these things come from within, and this is what defiles human beings. And when this, you see all the things that can come forth. I mean, the human heart is a mixed bag, isn't it? Human beings are. We're creating the image and likeness of God, and what God created is good, he said. He calls it good, very good. But the human race has fallen. And now from the core of our being, these kinds of things come forth when the human heart is not subject to God, when it's not renewed in baptism by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. We still have a battle. Even those who are baptized, we battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have to be on alert, and we have to be able to inform our conscience. We have to strengthen our families. We have to have, you know, virtue in political society and in those who govern over us. And we need righteousness in the church. We need the church to be the church. Well, let's take a closer look at it. So let's begin with conscience. Romans 1:20-21, it says, ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, that is God's, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to God. What's Paul talking about there? He's saying that God can be known since the creation of the world. God, his invisible nature, his eternal power and deity, can somehow be perceived by every human being at some level. It shows us that the work of the law is written on the human heart. Their conscience and human conscience bears witness to that fact. Here's a second way to see it and understand it, saying, every human being in the world, every child in your family, every person that you work with, everybody in your neighborhood has an inborn knowledge of God. According to Romans 1:21, inborn knowledge of the moral law of God, and according to Romans 1:32. And the Catechism simply echoes what the Scripture clearly teaches about it. 1776 paragraph from the Catechism. Deep within his conscience, man discovers a law which he's not laid upon himself, but which he must obey. Its voice ever calling him to love and to do what is good and avoid evil. It sounds in his heart at the right moment. For man has in his heart a law inscribed by God. His conscience is man's most secret core in his sanctuary. There he is alone with God, whose voice echoes in his depth. So conscience is that voice of God within us that says, do good and avoid evil. And conscience needs to be informed if it's going to be healthy, if it's going to function. And how is it informed? It's informed by the Word of God, God's revelation, teaching the church and the catechism. But when that teaching is confused, when it's a clear trumpet is not sounded, or when people are not really trained at all in the Word of God, they're not taught it, they're not well-formed, they're not paying attention to what the Lord has to say, that the work of conscience slowly begins to break down. It's not being strengthened. It's not being informed. And so we're facing a time when there's just so much, there's a kind of revolution, a moral revolution that's gone on in our society. And what we used to call evil, people now call good. And so when you hear, when you internalize again and again and again a message that what the church teaches is the opposite of what is good, right? Or, for example, if a society says over and over and over again that the taking the life of an innocent child in the womb, abortion, killing a baby, if that's a good act, if that's a free act, and society just keeps saying it over and over and over again, and the laws of the society promote it and uphold it and defend it, because law itself is a teacher, as we'll see later on here, sooner or later, a poorly informed conscience begins to break down, and we start calling what is evil good. When the conscience breaks down, human beings lose a certain dimension of self-mastery. I remember Peter Kreef saying at one point, humanity has to make a decision whether it wants to have a strong conscience or more cops. Because when the human conscience, the capacity to morally, to have the kind of moral center and know the difference between good and evil, and it's clear, and we begin to act on it, conscience helps us in the development of virtue within us. And so virtue is that capacity of self-mastery, of ordering our lives toward the good, toward what's good, true, and beautiful. But when the conscience begins to break down, we lose a degree of self-mastery. And boy, we are seeing that writ large across the culture. I mean, how much corruption and deception and lying every single day that goes on all over the place. And that's an expression. What we see is that people are no longer listening to their conscience, or that their conscience has been seriously dulled and weakened, and their moral rectitude and the capacity and strength is broken down. So conscience is crucial for self-mastery. Conscience, I mean, we would have so much of what we experience on a daily basis that we're watching unfold in our time, whether it's riots in the streets, whether it's political corruption in the church, whatever. If people feared God, and the fear of God, the spiritual gift, is very helpful in helping form conscience. It helps us pay attention to what conscience says in us of do good and avoid evil, because we understand the consequences of it. We understand God's will. And when you have the right healthy fear of God in us, we understand wisdom. That's why scripture says, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the beginning of wisdom is to acknowledge the reality of God. God is the creator of all things. He's the source of my being. And to act against God is an exercise in insanity and foolishness. It's crazy. But when a society breaks down and conscience breaks down, so does that self-mastery. Now, we become subject to the opinions of men. We become subject to what's going to make us popular, or how we're going to get ahead, or we're going to try to find the affirmation of the world as our goal rather than the affirmation of God. Okay, and then the second restrainer is the family, parental authority. And the restraint there, the restrainer really is what Scripture describes as the rod. I mean, it's in the Old Testament, right? Those who spare the rod spoil the child, but those who love them are diligent to discipline them. Train up your children in the right way, and when you're old, they will not stray. So the picture is that the family is this unique place where God has entrusted in family the upbringing of children to train them up in the discipline of the Lord. That is the whole way of life of the kingdom of God. And the authority of parents helps substitute for the lack of self-control, the lack of understanding, and the reality, the recognition that even in children, I mean, we are born with these corrupted hearts. And it gets expressed even in the lives of children. We see it in teenagers. My parents certainly saw it in my life when I was in my teenage years, and the rebellion and the constant pushback and a lot of foolish decisions I made. And I'm very thankful that my parents, you know, it wasn't easy to do, but they didn't let go of the wheel, so to speak. You know, they didn't let me do just simply whatever I wanted to do, but there were consequences that came as a result of my disobeying them and really acting against my own conscience and doing what I wasn't supposed to do. And so parental authority is entirely unique. But if family, and we're living at a time when family is broken down, there's so many broken families, there's an undermining of the authority of parents that's going on, and there's a great spiritual battle. Remember, Sister Lucia from Fatima had sent a letter to John Paul II through Cardinal Caffaro saying that the final battle between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness in the world's going to be over the family. So the deconstruction of family, the redefinition of family, the undermining of parental authority, all of this weakens this relational restraint that's given to the human heart. I mean, the conscience is that personal restraint. Family life is God's plan to bring about really an irreplaceable restraint to help children in their development at such a crucial time. We're going to take up the rest of this tomorrow, friends. I hope you can join us. We ask the Lord, help us to be strengthened in conscience and in family life for your glory. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.